South Lancaster, Massachusetts, November 26, 1901. Dear Blank, our coming on this journey must have been in the order of the Lord. We have evidence it was timely. We found the mission in New York City, established in a block up 5 flights of stairs. The elevator works for the whole block, so we were favored in not having to walk up flights of stairs. We were pleased to see a nice company of workers who are intelligent. All in connection with this mission are, we think, doing their best. Brother and Sister Haskell have done their very best in the management of the work and for the workers. All have put themselves into the work in every line where work is essential to be done. We met on Sunday at Chicago, Brother Homer Salisbury, Elder Daniels, Brother Moon, and W.C. White. They wished us to remain over one train and desired to understand if Brother Salisbury was in the line of duty and going to England. His goods were on the boat, his passage tickets purchased. We had about 1.5 hours, I think, in which to decide the matter as to whether the boat should take them to England or they remain at Berrien Springs. After hearing the matter presented that Berrien Springs should have experienced men to help them, we could not urge Homer Salisbury to stay. We found that our tickets could not be changed. Therefore, W.C. White joined us on our journey to New York City. I have spoken twice to the mission workers. We have visited in Brooklyn Brother King and his wife, and Sister Tay, who is a member of their family. We had a prayer season with them. We also visited Brother Jane's family and had a visit with them and a season of prayer. It was a very wearisome ride to Brother King's. The continual changing of cars and having to walk much wearied me, but that is in the past, not to be undertaken again. Brother King's family live in the 3rd story, and the going up and down the steep stairs was not agreeable. Of the little family, they were all at home but Brother King. They were glad to see us, and we were much pleased to see them. We had a visit with Brother and Sister Frankie. We were much pleased with the visit, and Elder Haskell and all, we think, see a decided change for the better in the outlook. The precious Sabbath and Sunday meetings in the new hired hall, which Elder Haskell had been trying to secure, were a grand success. The blessing of the Lord to work unity prepared the way for my testimony on Sabbath. This was a success. 700 people were before me, and an excellent representation of Sabbath keepers. But few outsiders were in the meeting on Sabbath. The Lord gave me freedom in speaking from the 17th chapter of John. Sunday afternoon, about as many were present. The Sabbath school children were left at home, yet all who could be seated were present. Quite a large number of outsiders were present. The Lord gave me freedom in speaking from 2 Peter, the 1st chapter. They all seemed much pleased and expressed themselves thus in regard to both discourses. Elder Frankie spoke by invitation Sunday evening. They report he did excellently. Well, we had much work to do in writing and in visiting those who called to see us. Elder Frankie and wife have been to see me several times and invited me to speak in Trenton, where they are desirous to hear me. All the churches that had been raised up were collected in the meetings held in New York City, and I was introduced to ministers and physicians and to a number of the higher classes. We visited Trenton last Sabbath. We went on the boat and then on the cars, which occupied 3 hours. We found Elder Frankie well situated in a tenement with his family of 4 boys and a sister who lives with them and has the charge of everything when Sister Frankie goes with her husband. We had a profitable visit. Sabbath morning, a hack took us to the water, a short distance, to witness a baptism. There was everything connected with this scene that would be educational to all who witnessed it. I was much pleased with the neat, plain robes that were worn, prepared for men and women. And the administrator also had a becoming garment, a surplice that covered the rubber baptismal suit, which was everything it should be. In the afternoon, the hack took us quite a distance to the meeting place. The hall was a poorly constructed building and represented our work in the best way that they could manage. It was all they could obtain. This hall was up a long flight of stairs. There were, I was told, between 200 and 300 people present. I was much pleased with the representation. Elder Frankie had labored 3 months in earnest labor, and many souls had received the truth. About 75 had taken their stand, 50 had been baptized, and others, to the number of 25, had received the truth. These meetings he had held created a large stir, and much opposition was expressed by the opposing element. An excellent work was begun. These tent meetings closed with a meeting after the camp meeting order, and thus the work was advanced. Elder Daniels attended this meeting, and he sees the great work in new fields that must be entered. The work is far from being closed up. Work is being done in missionary efforts, personal labor from house to house. There has been a good work done, and a church is being organized, and all who do believe the truth have not yet taken their decided stand, but one after another is confessing the truth. The ministers are now at work to counterwork the truth. But if the believers will watch and pray, and believe and work diligently as Christ commissioned his disciples, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. Matthew 10, verse 16. We believe a large number will yet take their stand. The Lord gave me my work on the Sabbath to present the 14th chapter of John, dwelling upon faith and hope. The blessing of the Lord attended the word spoken. Many testimonies of courage and of faith and hope were born. All expressed an appreciation of the word spoken. The social meeting following was cheerful, and the happy faces expressed the blessings of God in their testimonies, and the hymns sung as a part of the service seemed to leave the most blessed influence upon the minds of those assembled. This was a rainy Sabbath, but the heavenly showers of grace and blessing from God were evidently refreshing the souls of those present. Their testimonies I highly appreciated. The meeting continued until the electric lights were lighted and our precious meeting closed, when we were obliged to leave for the station to take the cars that left Trenton for the boat. I am deeply impressed that Trenton will be a central interest, as well as Brooklyn, and still other localities outside of the city of New York. We see indeed the fields in every direction in and outside of New York to be worked. There should be a hall secured to call the people together in New York City and from surrounding localities out of New York City. Will all who are now interested in this work during the week of prayer make their gifts and offerings as the Spirit of the Lord shall prompt them to do in helping the objects of religious missions that are greatly in need of help. Do not feel if you do this you are robbing the very needy localities that present themselves at the present time. Let the week of prayer be a season of special humiliation of soul before God. You need not wait for this work until the week of prayer, but commence now, just now, in accordance with the light and impressions you have received through the special meetings that have been held in these places where many have been assembled, and the special working of the Spirit of God has evidenced that the good hand of the Lord is fashioning and molding the vessels unto honor, that the refreshing from God shall come in a decided manner and fill these vessels with the precious Holy Spirit of God. Thus, they will be prepared to impart not only their gifts and offerings, but themselves to the work of God to advance at every step, not to retrograde, but in presenting soul, body, and spirit a living sacrifice to God. They have demonstrated that all given them in trust is the Lord's, to be used in advancing His kingdom in our world.
The religion of Jesus Christ is not a performance, but a life in the similitude of the life of Christ. This is an important step in advance, as union is strength, to organize into a society called a church. The design of this to each is, by consent and pledge, to strengthen the newly converted to become instrumental in exerting the same influence in behalf of others as was exercised in his own behalf to teach him the way of truth and life. As God has designed, every truly converted soul becomes a co-worker with Christ in drawing souls as Christ drew all men unto him. Each member of the church, in Christian principles and in and through the grace of Christ, is to individually receive and enjoy the principles and benefits that shall make him the helping hand of God. Thus he, though already in the faith, shall learn how to become, under the saving influence of the church, a transforming element, as represented by salt in its saving properties and transforming virtues, having Christ as an example for the exercise of sympathy, forbearance, and the virtues of that faith which works by love and purifies the soul. All in church capacity are to work, beseeching men and women to be reconciled unto God. In this way, all may show that they are favored to serve. They possess the grace of the ministry of reconciliation. If one errs, if from any cause there is disagreement, do not let time pass, but go to work at once to settle variances and come into unity. Those who are thus tried are to work according to God's plan, and are to settle the matter of disagreement between themselves. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18, verse 19, 20. This is God's ordained plan, to pray and converse with one another, and in the place of recrimination, try to break down the existing barriers, that heart may be cemented to heart, that self-will and selfishness should die. For in the work of reclaiming, the statement is made: the fervent, effectual prayer of every one of faith availeth much. James 5, verse 16. God calls for all to act in concert. Union is strength. Variance is weakness and sin. There is to be no counter-influence in the church. The whole body is to work harmoniously as members of one body. Will all who are connected in the solemn pledge covenant bear in mind that the union of action of every member of the body, each acting the part God has appointed him, each at his post, all acting in concert, the whole working agency in the accomplishment of sacred duties for the strengthening and establishment of a church, is to exhibit God's miracle-working power as a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men? There is a God-given commandment to exhibit a heavenly government upon earth, making known to all people the virtues of the cross of Christ. The result of this infinite connected with the finite is to demonstrate, through united possession of consecrated fidelity, God's original design, extending and adding domain and section after section, through sanctified, constant, united agencies to the approaching universal conquest. God designs this, for the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, and they shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Daniel 7, verse 27, 18. The Lord has designed that His people shall organize and combine all the united elements, sanctified through the truth, as vast influential agencies to transform the human into divine agencies to work out as united plans, the divine cooperating with the human, the power of the future world brought into and imparted to the present, which means the Holy Spirit pervading his body, the Church. Will the Church consider this as important and arise to a sense of its responsibility? The heavenly agencies employ all human agencies as God's helping members of his body to reclaim a fallen race, all doing to the uttermost strength of capabilities entrusted for the recovering of the world to Christ. Will we all consider that it is not now a time to look upon any one man as a whole efficiency? No, but every man working his part under a divine theocracy. Not a selfish thread is to be drawn into the web. There must be a unity that economizes all the energies of human passions in sanctified humanity under the divine theocracy. All the united, converted agencies are to combine in one, and the law of cooperation is the great one work in reciprocal influence. There is to be no kingly power, one man controlling the whole. All influences are brought to bear one upon the other in revealing Christ and the cross to a world that is perishing in sin and iniquity.
God now wants our cities to be worked through the endowed, sanctified influences brought to bear upon the human mind. Transformation of one human mind means, if God's will is carried out, the transformation of many human minds. None of us liveth to himself. Romans 14, verse 7. None of us planneth to obtain glory to himself. The Lord gave Christ to our world, and with Christ he withheld nothing that could aid man in his humanity. When the organized church has withheld nothing of its entrusted talents and influence, when the Lord gave Christ, and then called for man to put that power and influence under the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit to crown his work with success, to make their combined work a signal success, should man fail on his part? Why, the intensity of desire in these human agencies for the salvation of the world will bring money from the higher classes to return to God his own money, and their converted talents in mind and heart and soul service. What does the Church propose to do in Christian instrumentality for the conversion of the world? The Lord calls for his memorials to be established in every city. There must be in every city the work which must be taken up to diffuse the influence of the truth, which has a sanctifying power upon those who hear and will respond. The success of this work does not depend upon leaning upon smartness of talent, but consecration to God will lead every soul to seek, in the work and service of God, for most thorough skill and understanding as to how to appropriate his services to God, that he can become efficient through the working of the Holy Spirit's power to make the truth present testing truth, to illustrate its own importance through the word of truth, and enforce its daily, practical importance upon the hearers. God's work is not done after a human similitude, but it is after the divine image of the true, in every phase of its bearing on character. One thing is certain: our people, entrusted with the most momentous truth that ever came to our world, have greatly missed their chances and opportunities through want of entire consecration of soul, body, and spirit to God, of doing a work to meet the emergencies in a part of God's original plan. He who is high and lifted up speaks thus in Isaiah: "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Isaiah 57, verse 15. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord will work for all who are humble and who hear him.